Hello and welcome to Girls in Pole Position. Today we bring you an episode where we talk about not one, but two Formula One races that have happened over the past few weeks, Australia and Imola. So we'll start with Australia, since that was the race that happened first. And the biggest talking point before the race seems to be the changes that were being made to the Australia track since we were last here. The main changes included the widening of corners to try and make overtaking easier, after a lot of people accused the track of making it too challenging. And many people have been saying that the changes tend to lend themselves better to other motorsport series rather than F1. But Amrit, do you think the improvements did result in better racing overall?
I do think it was a good race to watch. I found, even though it was so early in the morning, I did find it quite engaging. I mean, I do think that I noticed that there was a lot of grass on the sides. I know that's the same like a lot of tracks, but it seemed to just be a hindrance for a lot of the drivers when I watched the highlights yesterday. But I do like how the track is wider and obviously said makes overtaking easier. Like Hamilton went up a few places at the start, I think. So yeah, it's good. It makes it fair, I think, with the new regulations, people can overtake easier, because those are my personal favourite tracks to watch where drivers can actually overtake each other. It's not just like a narrow street circuit.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think with overtaking, that's the exciting part. And I think it's essential that it's possible for the drivers to overtake. So I think the race was really good. I didn't wake up early to watch it. I will admit I watched it later on when it was repeated on Sky. But yeah, I think the track was great. I know Daniel Ricciardo was very involved in a lot of the changes that were made, and he's been in F1 long enough to know what's good and what's not. So I trust his judgment, and I do think the track changes probably did benefit the race overall. However, there were still some incidents, and Stroll and Latifi crashed in qualifying. Even though it was confirmed that the crash was Stroll's fault in the end, Latifi has been so accident prone this season so far, and pretty much has been involved in most of the incidents that have happened. This will be costing Williams a lot of money and resources, and you do have to question, I know Latifi's putting a lot of money into the team, but also he's probably spending all that money just on fixing his car. Jasmine, I was wondering what your thoughts were on how long Williams can put up with him crashing so much. And now they've sold the team, they've obviously got a lot more money. So do you think they still need to rely on Latifi's daddy's cash, as a lot of people call it?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, because obviously he is a paid driver, and so I feel like his money is obviously going to be welcome. But at the same time, as what you said, it has been sold, so I feel like money isn't going to be as much of an issue. And I feel like it's pretty much clear now that Mazepin's left that Latifi is pretty much the worst driver on the track. Like, he's always crashing, and I would be surprised if Williams offered him a seat for next year. I think that they're going to look for someone else, because it's not just costing them money, it's also costing them places, it's also costing them points. So I think, yeah, that they're not going to want to put up with it much longer. They've got, you know, a new owner, they're going to want to be implementing new changes into the team, and I think saying goodbye to Latifi would definitely be one of them.
Yeah, I'm on your side with that one. I think his performances, you can't excuse them just because he's a pay driver. I think, you know, if you're going to be a pay driver in the sport, that's completely fine. Some really good drivers have come about from being pay drivers, but your performances have to speak for themselves. You have to be in it because you deserve the seat because of your performances, and then the money that you can bring in needs to just be an added bonus, I think. I've also read a lot this week about Williams considering Oscar Piastri for a seat next year. I don't know how much truth there is in that, but we'll have to wait and see. But I'm fingers crossed that he's going to be replacing Latifi if he does come in, and not Albon, because Albon's outperforming Latifi by a mile at the moment, and he really doesn't deserve to lose his seat at all. So we'll have to see about that one and see if any more news comes out about it over the next coming months. But moving on to the front of the grid now, going right from right at the back to right at the front, Leclerc got a pole position in Australia and then went on to win the race, as well as getting the fastest lap. Pretty much clean sweep from him. It was a very impressive performance. But it wasn't so good for his teammate Carlos Sainz, who unfortunately didn't finish the race. And exactly the same as Ferrari, Red Bull also had one driver who finished on the podium and one driver who didn't finish. Even though Red Bull didn't suffer any issues in Imola, getting their first 1-2 finish since 2016, reliability really seems to have been an issue with their car that's affected 50%, I'd say, of their races so far. Amrit, do you think this is going to ruin their championship chances? Do you think it's already too late for them to catch up with Ferrari, or do you think they still stand a chance with the development of their car throughout the season?
definitely don't think it's too late because the season has just started. And I think obviously Verstappen's still performing incredibly well as he did last year. And even Perez is as well. So I just think that with the new regulations, like we've seen it with every team, like Mercedes the most, they all just need to adapt to these new cars and the new era. And it's just, it's going to take them a while. Like I didn't expect the teams to be like right at the top from the start. I mean, Ferrari, I'm happily surprised that they are. But I do think that there will be a close battle, especially between Max and Charles in particular. Because we've seen how like close their racing is, like wheel-to-wheel racing. So I do think that there will be a battle between them and Red Bull aren't left behind as such. Because, yeah, there is so much left to go of the season. And if you look at last year, like Perez and Verstappen both are great drivers. So I think they can push to get the most out of the cars. And I do think we've mentioned before the summer break being good for development of the cars. After that, who knows, they might come back and be like dominating everyone else on the grid.
Yeah, you're definitely right. I think there's a lot of potential still for Red Bull. And the fact that Max has won every race that he's actually managed to finish so far this year does show that the car has a lot of potential. And Max obviously has a lot of potential, as we know. But it is just the reliability issues, I think, that are the problem right now. And if they get them sorted, then I think it will be fine. Max is known for being a very consistent driver. I saw a ridiculous stat the other week about how many times he's been on the podium in the past like 2 years, and pretty much every race that he hasn't finished, he's been in the top three, which I think is incredible. I think he's got such good consistency, and Perez is adapting really well as well. So I think Red Bull definitely will keep Perez on for another year based on his performances. And I think throughout the season, I think their development is going to be really impressive. Jasmine, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's still too early to say like that one team's going to be dominating the other. I still think that Red Bull obviously proved themselves last year. So I think that there is still plenty of time for them to catch up. It's not too late for them to win. Clearly, Max has been putting in some incredible performances and he has been doing really well. And yeah, I think we're just going to have to wait and see what happens over the course of the year. And I feel like it could potentially be one of those close battles right up until the end between Ferrari and Red Bull, as it was between Red Bull and Mercedes last year. But yeah, I don't know. I don't want to say anything too definite and then it turns out that I'm completely wrong. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking at the moment.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right that it's going to come down to Red Bull and Ferrari. But a big factor with Ferrari is Carlos Sainz, because he's really not been having a great time lately. He qualified ninth in Australia, which obviously was below people's expectations. Then he didn't finish the race, and then moving on to Imola as well. There was such a big Ferrari fan presence in the crowd, obviously, with the race being in Italy. And it's the first crowd we've had at the circuit since 2006, which is incredibly long. And Sainz crashed in qualifying, so that was great for the fans who were there to support Ferrari. And then he didn't make it past lap one in the race, which made it even better for them due to a collision with Ricciardo. So he's recently extended his contract until 2024, and it seems that when drivers extend their contracts, they seem to put a bit of a curse on themselves and they end up not performing very well in the races afterwards. And I think this is definitely happened with Sainz here. But do you think he risks becoming Ferrari's second driver if he doesn't start having less incidents and challenging Charles for wins more often?
I do think that will become an issue, especially because Charles, he's performing incredibly well this year, as I said. And I just think that with Sainz, I was surprised when he did so badly this weekend, because he'd, like, even the commentators were saying themselves, they thought, oh, he'll have a confidence boost because he's got the security of this new contract, especially because Ferrari originally like wanted to give him a 1 year deal or something, but now he's got a 2 year deal. We thought, oh, he'll be a bit more confident and will perform a bit better, but no, that's not what happened. But I do think if Ferrari are going to be like, well, at the minute, they are like the new Mercedes, aren't they? Like, they're performing so well as a team. If they're going to be like that, they're going to want the best drivers. And at the moment, Sainz doesn't seem like that. So I do think that he is already at risk of being the second driver. And I mean, it's quite funny because like last season, I remember everyone saying like, oh, Sainz is so underrated compared to Charles, like Sainz is better and stuff. But then this year, it's sort of becoming the way like it was with Lewis and Bottas. Like, I hope that Sainz just doesn't become Charles's wingman.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen as well. I mean, with the contract thing, we saw it with Ocon last year. He signed his like long-term contract with Alpine, and then suddenly his performances went dramatically downhill. I think it's a bit of a curse that having a long contract puts on you sometimes. But yeah, I wonder how long it's going to take Ferrari to start introducing team orders and things like that, and whether they're going to start prioritising Leclerc. I guess we'll have to wait and see whether Sainz does better next time around. Another driver who really struggled in Australia was Vettel. He again didn't finish the race. But I think this is something that might have been caused by him missing the first two races due to COVID, because in Imola, he massively overperformed in the Aston Martin, which we know isn't the best car on the grid by any means. He finished in eighth. I've written in my notes seventh, but I'm pretty sure he finished eighth. And then Stroll in 10th, which makes me kind of think the fact that Stroll was up there as well makes me kind of think that maybe they just sorted something with the setup of the car and kind of made it work for Imola. Maybe it just suited the track better, with both Aston Martins finishing in the points. So, Jasmine, I was wondering, do you think, is this, like, these finishing places, is this a sign of Seb's talent being able to overperform in the car? Have the drivers just both got more used to it? Or do you think Aston Martin have actually managed to develop and improve their car since the start of this season?
Honestly, it could be all three of those things. I do think, obviously, Sebastian Vettel does have a lot of talent. And even though he's not going to be winning any more championships, I still think he's got a lot to give to the sport. And I think that him doing really well and like kind of outperforming expectations shows that he's not ready to kind of retire yet. And I do think Aston Martin have probably improved their car as well. I find it funny that like at the beginning of the year we were all kind of like, oh, Aston Martin, the car looks so good, it's the best car on the grid. And then I feel like they put so much focus on how it looked rather than how it actually performed. But maybe now they have put more of a focus on the performance and they have improved it slightly. And yeah, it could be a sign of the drivers getting used to the car. I feel like it's normal new regulations and different like style of car that is going to be like difficult to kind of figure out how to race in it when you first drive it. So I do think they are probably getting more used to it. So I think it is a combination of all three things, really.
Yeah, I'd say so as well. I mean, we all know Seb's an incredible driver. Like, that's never been doubted or disputed, I don't think. It's always been, you know, Seb's always been viewed as better than Stroll. But to see them both in the top 10, I think, shows them the car, there's definitely something about the car, maybe the setup or something like that, that did work this weekend, and hopefully they'll learn from that and be able to take it to future races. And another Mercedes power unit team that haven't quite got it right this year so far are McLaren, but they have improved since the start of the season dramatically, I think more so than any of us expected. So looking back at Australia, it was actually quite a promising race for them. Both cars made it to Q3, and then Lando and Daniel finished P5 and P6 in the race. At Imola, it wasn't so great for Ricciardo after his lap one incident with Sainz that we've already mentioned. But things only got better for Lando Norris, who ended up on the podium, which I think surprised everyone, even Lando himself. So, Amrit, do you think the string of results was surprising after McLaren had such a poor start to the season? And do you think this is a sign that they are managing to turn things around?
I think I was happily surprised that Lando was on podium. I think especially being as like one of the races at the start of the season, he was just like so done with like all the bad performances, especially because he performed so well last season. But I think, again, I'm not that surprised that they're improving, because as I said earlier, like everyone just needs to get used to the car, and like it's, there seems to be just a lot of work going on behind the scenes of each team to get the cars performing the best that they can. So I'm not surprised that they managed to turn it around, but I'm surprised they managed to turn it around so quick, and I'm glad that they have. But I hope that Ricciardo manages to get back to how he performed in Australia, because that was a good result for him compared to everything that's been going on surrounding him, with people saying that he's not performing as best as he could. But yeah, I think that I'd like to see them sort of fighting the top two teams a bit more. Hopefully that's the way the season goes, because at the end of the day, the new regulations were put in to allow for closer racing, not to make all the teams struggle. So yeah, I hope that their upward streak continues throughout the season.
Yeah, I think with Ricciardo, I'd say his Australian result is more representative than his Imola one, because his car was pretty damaged after the incident in lap one, so I just don't think he could fight back up, and he was just stuck at the back. So I do think you're right in the sense that Daniel does have more potential, and I think hopefully Imola was just a one-off in terms of his bad performance due to car damage. At Imola as well, we also saw the first sprint qualifying of 2022, and Leclerc took the lead on the first corner, but then Verstappen managed to regain the position right at the end to win. I thought it was quite a dramatic sprint qualifying. I actually quite enjoyed it. And a lot of people were criticising it because the qualifying session on the Friday resulted in a lot of surprises due to the rain. But then the sprint qualifying happened in the dry and a lot of those surprises were reversed. And that was kind of people's main criticism of it, I saw. But I feel like that wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been a rainy qualifying. So you can't really criticise the format as a whole based on that. And I actually did find myself really enjoying the sprint qualifying. And I think I'd take it over a third free practice session any day. I think it's much more entertaining to watch. Jasmine, do you think the format worked with the new regulations this time around? And do you think it should stay in F1 for the future? I'm pretty sure it's already been announced that it will be staying next year, but do you think it should? And are there any changes you think that should be made to it long term?
I really enjoyed watching the sprint race as well. I did find it really entertaining, and like it definitely made me want to go and watch it rather than if it had just been another practice, like I probably wouldn't have bothered. But I do think it should stay for future F1 seasons. I think it's good the way they have it, that it's not for every race, it's just for some of them, because I feel like if it was for every race, it would be quite tiring, like having to watch it every Saturday. So I do quite enjoy the way that it is now. It was quite, so I don't know, it's tricky because it, obviously if you just have a normal qualifying, then the results would have been different. It would have probably affected the results of the race as well. So I don't know, it's kind of hard to say like if there should be any changes. I feel like the length of it is good. Like I can't remember how many laps it was exactly. Was it 20 something?
21, I think.
Yeah, 21. So I think the length of it was good. But yeah, I'm not really sure what other changes should be made. I just enjoyed it the way that it was, really.
Yeah, I mean, I did enjoy it. I do think you're right that every week would be too much and would be like too much, not only just for people to watch, but also too much for the drivers to do, I think. Like, I know they've complained about it actually, like, I think the whole point of it was just, they were trying to shorten the weekend by doing the media on Friday as well, but then they've ended up, it feels just as long and they're doing just as much. So I think it would be too tiring for the drivers to do it every weekend. But I do think I enjoyed it this time around. I was unsure about it last season, but now I'm a bit more sold on it. And I do think it's quite entertaining. And I'm willing to see it in the future. Everyone knows I'm the biggest advocate for, I want Formula One to try Formula E's qualifying method with the duels. I think that would be insane. And I'd love to see that. If we're talking sprint qualifying format, then I'm not really sure what changes could be made. As you said, I think the length's great. I think the fact that it happens on the Saturday is great. The only thing is with the qualifying happening on Friday, I feel bad for people who are at work and can't watch the like standard original qualifying. But apart from that, I think, you know, with the Saturdays more made more exciting having the sprint qualifying on that day. Recently, a change has been made that does make it impact things more, which is the changing of how the points are distributed. So the top eight now get points rather than the top three. I do think having more drivers earn points from it makes it a much more worthwhile event. And I do think it has the potential to have a bigger impact on the championship now than it did have before. Amrit, what are your thoughts on the changes that they've made to the point system in the sprint?
Yeah, I do think that the new point distribution is good, because I do think that with the top eight getting points, it does impact the championship more, because I think if only the top three are getting points, it's sort of like, well, what's the point in that? It's only affecting the people who are at the top. And even though, like, this season it seems to be a bit more closer between the drivers, if that happened, like, last season, it just sort of impacted, who was it, like, Hamilton, Verstappen, Perez, like, all of them at the top. Whereas now, like, everyone else getting a point, it sort of makes it worthwhile for the lower down teams as well. So I do agree with the new format. And also in terms of sprint qualifying themselves, I do think that they are better this season because of that. And I agree with what you said earlier, like, I'd like to see some more of them like kept in the sport, not every weekend though, as you said. But yeah, I do think that the way that they're doing the sprints now is better than it was last year.
Yeah, I agree. And the winner used to get 3 points and now they get 8. So it's definitely got the potential to impact the championship a lot more, because 8 points is quite a big kind of margin between two drivers in the championship. And coming back to drivers who seem to struggle, particularly in Imola, was Mick Schumacher. He was outperformed by K-Mag once again. He had a few spins as well as being warned not to break track limits. And I think with Mick, it's a difficult one because I don't think he's got much experience from last season. But do you feel, Jasmine, that this year he's having to really adapt to F1, since he's used to kind of being at the back and now he's having to battle and compete with the midfield? I think some of his mistakes were a bit inexcusable. A lot of them were just him spinning by himself and a bit unprovoked. But what do you think about like how he's adapting?
Yeah, I do think it is a bit of a culture shock for him. I think last year he kind of went into F1, you know, his dad's obviously really famous. He's got a lot of money already. He kind of went in thinking, oh yeah, this team, they kind of need me, like, I don't need to put that much effort in. And now all of a sudden he's kind of like, oh wait, actually this is not what I signed up for, or this is not what I'm prepared for at all. And I think maybe he wasn't expecting the gap from last year to this year to be so big. And I also think he's probably feeling a lot of pressure as well, and I think that's probably causing him to make some of the mistakes that he's making, because he's probably thinking, oh gosh, everyone's looking at me, I need to be doing as well as my dad, or at the very least I need to be doing as well as my teammate. And he's just not doing that, and so he's probably, that's just probably causing him to lose focus during the races and things like that. But I hopefully think that after a few more races he should start to get used to it and get used to what is expected of him in a midfield F1 team, and kind of, you know, start to actually perform well. And I hope he does, because he's in my fantasy league and this is tragic for me.
I think he'll be trying his best, but I do think it's been a very big shock to him. And I do think he's very talented. I mean, you can't win F2 and F3 without being talented. But I think you're right that there's a lot of pressure on him, not just from his teammate, but yeah, from the Schumacher name. And hopefully this year will really be adapting year for him, hopefully, fingers crossed. So another driver who outperformed his teammate in Imola by a pretty big margin was George Russell. The big question that everyone's been asking is why Lewis Hamilton struggled so much. Surely if Lewis is as great as everyone believes him to be, he should be able to perform better than George, who is new to the team. And even though we know the Mercedes car isn't the best, he should be able to perform well in it rather than being lapped by Verstappen, which we all know is Sky Sports really made a big thing of. So why isn't this happening, Amrit? And why isn't Russell struggling as much as Hamilton is? Do you think there's a difference in their car setup, or do you think it is just a case of Russell's adapting to the car better?
I think it is a bit of both. I think that, firstly, I read online that like Hamilton had 2.5 kilograms of sensors on his car like this weekend or something. And like something was different with his car because of that, which I think is why Toto apologized. But then I also do think that Russell is used to driving a worse car when he was at Williams and knows how to get the most out of a bad car. And also his first year at Mercedes, I feel like he's still thinking, I've got this point to prove that I should be here. So I wouldn't be like, this is just my opinion, but I would not be surprised if like Hamilton's car is different like internally compared to Russell's, because they know that he's got the experience to sort of trial out any new changes that they want to make. But I do think I am, like, as a Hamilton fan, I am very surprised at his performance this season. Like I don't think he should be like P14, like driving down there and like at the bottom. And like the fact that he struggled so much to overtake Gasly this weekend, I think that kind of shocked me. But I do think that it is a lot to do with the car as well, but then you can't just blame it all on the car. Like I do think that I did expect Hamilton to be performing better because he is meant to be such a good driver. But I understand that, like, with the new regulations, none of the teams really know what they're doing. Mercedes just got it wrong and they're trying to fix it. So I do hope that they become equal again, like Russell and Hamilton, because it would be nice to see, like, It's always just a bit odd if like one teammate's up at the top and then the other one's at the bottom, especially in this scenario. So yeah, I do think that he'll pull it back eventually, but it is surprising to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really seen Hamilton in a bad car, except for 2009, which was obviously over a decade ago. He's had a good car since then, when this is literally the best car Russell has ever driven, which I think is really funny. This is pretty much the worst car Hamilton's ever had and the best car Russell has ever had. So it's definitely leading to some interesting results. And I think you're right, there must be some kind of difference between the cars because Toto on the radio said that Hamilton's was undrivable, and yet George's clearly was drivable to get it into P4. So, yeah, that's an interesting one. I think it's one we'll have to kind of monitor over the next few races. And we have to talk about Charles Leclerc, even though we might not want to acknowledge it. He was running in third until he spun off into the wall near the end of the race. He finished in P6, which I was quite impressed by. But we all know that mistakes like this can cost championships, especially when it's such a close battle. And I think the fact that Leclerc's was simply just him going over the limit, it was a driver error, it was self-inflicted, makes it even worse and even more painful. Jasmine, do you think that Charles's slight accident-prone nature and the fact that he often goes beyond the limit like this is going to cost him the championship further down the line? Or do you think he's got the time and the potential to learn from it and come back stronger and come back fighting?
I mean, I would hope that he's learned from it. I think what happened is he was so, like, I don't know, because at first Ferrari were just kind of playing it safe and they were like, okay, we're not going to change the tyres. We're just going to keep you in P3. And then all of a sudden they were like, okay, we're going to change the tyres. Now you're in P2. Now you've got to try and track down Verstappen. And I think he just got it into his head, like, okay, I need to win this race. I need to overtake him. And he just pushed it beyond the limits and that caused him to crash. And I don't know. I'd hope that he has learned from it and thinks, okay, maybe next time I'm not going to do something that would cost me several places. I'm not going to do something that would cost me the championship. I think at that point in the race, he should have just accepted that he wasn't going to win it and should have been happy with a podium. But I don't know. It's hard to say because I feel like now that he is competing for the championship, there is a lot of pressure and he's going to constantly be wanting to prove himself and be wanting to push himself to the limits. So I think it will be hard to know where that boundary is. But hopefully he will have learned from it. And I guess we'll just have to see what happens in future races.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, if he'd finished P3, that wouldn't have been a bad result. But I think he just pushed it a bit too hard trying to overtake Perez and get to the like P2 or even aiming for P1, maybe. I think he just pushed it a bit too far and maybe he should have just accepted the P3. And yeah, I know Max has always said that, you know, sometimes you've got to take a P2 or take a P3, and that will still help you in the championship. And I think if Leclerc has that mindset rather than going for the win all the time, then maybe it will, that consistency is what he needs to win the championship rather than getting it into the wall and getting P6, which is obviously a big downgrade from getting P3. But yeah, I mean, we'll see how he does next week, and hopefully we'll be a happier bunch of Ferrari fans by then. And but that's all we've got time for today. We hope you've enjoyed our thoughts on both the Australian Imola Grand Prix. We've been Girls in Pole Position, and we'll be putting things on a bit of a pause throughout May because we've got a lot of exams and deadlines and all that good stuff. But we'll be back with another bumper review of all of the races that are happening in May at the end of the month. Bye for now.